Some time ago, I was in the Philippines, and as a part of my itinerary, I was to visit and preach in a city by the name of Bacolod. Never having been there before and interested in knowing something about what it would be like, someone said that it was noted for having the most beautiful sunsets in the world. This, of course, attracted my attention, and the one thing that I wanted to see while I was there was a beautiful sunset. And sure enough, late one evening, I was to see one of nature's spectaculars. The shifting, billowy clouds that evening were light, creamy yellow, contrasting magnificently with the dark purple that signaled that night was approaching and the sun was about to set. As the last rays of the sun swept over the dark blue hues of the waves of the ocean, the scene enthralled me until I said, "Thank you, Lord, for letting me see this beautiful sight." Thoughts since that time have come to me. Why did Jesus lavish this unforgettable sunset on so few that would take the time to even look at it? And I thought of the many sunrises unseen, the songs of birds unheard, the autumn color in remote areas that no eye had ever beheld. I thought that I must learn more about the lavishness of Jesus and try to figure how I could get this quality into my own life. One of the finest characteristics of our Lord was this glorious giving and uncalculating generosity that made Him very lovable. It was one of the features of His grace. He exhibited that royal largeness which always captivates the human heart. For the miser is universally condemned, and the stingy person forever unattractive. The lavishness of Christ is found in every sphere. It affects every area of our living. I suppose one of the best known of the miracles that He performed was the one where He fed 5,000 men besides the women and children with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. When this small lunch was brought to Him, He took it. And looking up, He blessed and brake and gave the loaves to His disciples and the disciples to the multitude. The Scriptures tells us that they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. Some may find in this a lesson in economy. And Jesus was indeed careful that not a crumb be lost. And it is well that we should be taught that lesson, as we are so apt to be careless with life's fragments. But there is a far deeper lesson than that, and it leads us to the inmost heart of Jesus. We learn of His uncalculating love and giving. Love doesn't figure on minimums. He didn't take any precise measurements of what that hungry multitude required in the way of food. Jesus didn't think of the minimum of need. He thought of the maximum of love. He gave so largely that when every adult was fed and every whimpering child was satisfied, there yet remained 12 baskets full. This was the manner in which Jesus gave. And in such a manner, He is still giving. Men come to Him for healing, and they get pardon for their sins. They come for pennies, and He gives them dollars. I think that is why so many people fail to see the answers to their prayers. They have asked for dollars, and they get a fortune. Most of us have almost no idea of the magnitude of space. I didn't know until recently that our sun gives off more energy in 1 second than the explosion of 1 billion of the largest hydrogen bombs ever built. I didn't know that the sun is 1 million times larger than Earth, or that some stars are more than 12 billion times larger than our sun. I didn't know that if you could travel at the speed of light, 186,000 miles a second, it would take you 2,000 million years to travel to some of God's star galaxies. And undoubtedly, there are galaxies beyond those. Most of us are nature lovers. I suppose if I had been Jesus, the Creator God, I might have placed at least a dozen kind of flowers on earth and felt good about it. But Jesus thinks more expansively than I do. He gave us 100,000 species of flowers and plants. In addition, no two single flowers are exactly alike, no two leaves exactly alike, and no two blades of grass alike. And let me pause to insert here the scripture from John 1 and 3. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And let us look at verse 10 in the same chapter. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. And there is not any contradiction in the Bible, for Jesus was God. In a recent winter, we had a large snow in the area in which I live. It started early in the morning, and by the afternoon, we had several inches. Everything was white and whiter. And although it was one great mass, that mass was made up of trillions of individual flakes. And yet, of the millions of flakes in a single snowfall, no two are alike. No wonder the text reads, "Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow?" And what about the birds? Our Creator has given us 16,000 of species to enjoy. Then, of course, Jesus is lavish in His promises of help for His human family. We have a Lord who is not only merciful, but who is rich in mercy. Jesus not only saves, but He saves to the uttermost. No one has fallen so low but that Jesus can redeem him. And for our darkest moments, Jesus says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. My grace is sufficient for you. Come unto me. I will give you rest." And what can I say to you who are listening today about the compassion of Jesus? He always had time for people, and He still does today. I have always had a lot of sympathy for Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews that came to Jesus by night. This man was at war with himself. From the moment he opens his mouth and launches into his interview with Jesus, the war is quite apparent. He draws a deep breath, and as he looks at the simple Galilean peasant before him, acknowledges that he knows that he is a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And even though it was late at night, Jesus, seeing the war within Nicodemus, took the time to tell him and us that except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And Jesus has plenty of time for you today. To further emphasize that He had time for people, He came to the disciples in a foundering boat at daybreak, and a fallen woman by a well at noon, and a company of hungry, unemployed in the afternoon. He was available to them all. He cared for people that nobody else loved, and He saw hope for people for whom nobody else saw. And before I bring this message to a close, I must mention the lavishness of Jesus' forgiveness. In His painful and humiliating death, He cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Can you visualize our Lord forgiving those who were crucifying Him? He did just that. What more can our Lord do for us than He has not already done? He would like to spend some time with you today. Yes, even right now. And let me say to you that if you will permit Him to visit with you, as He did with troubled Nicodemus, with a woman by a well, it could very well be the turning point in your life for the good. You see, the Lord Jesus doesn't want you to continue in your doubts, nor to let the warfare continue in your life. His concern for you is the same as for anyone. In fact, He loves you just as much as He has ever loved anybody. The lines of a song that I heard many years ago just may be what needs to happen to you today. It goes like this: the Savior can solve every problem. The tangles of life can undo. There is nothing too hard for Jesus. There is nothing that He cannot do. Oh, my friend, let me beg of you, to seek the Lord now while He may be found, and call upon Him while He is near. He is more anxious to forgive you of your sins than you are to get rid of them. But you must repent and be baptized, everyone, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall then receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And friend, that means that Christ comes right on the inside of you to dwell within you, not for a moment, not for a day, but for the rest of your life, as you will let Him live there, and then will take you with Him to be with Him forever in eternity. I pray that that will happen to you today. In the name of Jesus, we'll carefully believe that God will touch you even as you hear the word now. And again, we say, in the name of Jesus, call upon the Lord right now.